Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in these chapters of Rudra Gita, is it known, or Shiva Stotram, it is the prayer of spoken by Lord Shiva, who is also known as Rudra. Rudra Gita, like this Bhagavad Gita, Gopi Gita, Venu Gita, Govinda Gita. So we also have the song of Shiva or Rudra, Rudra Gita. Vedic literatures, especially if the Lord is glorified by Vedic literatures, it is called Uttama Shloka. It is not ordinary composition of somebody's mind. It is not ordinary literature who is glorifying the mundane world. Tatvak visarka chanataka viplavo yasmin prati shloka badavati api amnama nantesya yashon kintanivat shrinvanti gayanti krinanti sadhava. The beginning of Bhagavatam, 5th chapter in Narada Shiksha to Vyasadev. He explained to Vyasadev, who was in stage of confusion by Yoga Maya, for the higher purpose of the mission to write down or compose Srimad Bhagavatam in most elaborate form. Vyasadeva at that time, he already had some notes of Bhagavatam, but due to the inspiration of his spiritual master, Narada Muni, who appeared at the proper time at his ashram, so he mentioned to him, you know, that this, you actually should write more about the glories of the Lord, of Lord Krishna. Because saintly persons who relish the qualities, names, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're not satisfied with ordinary literatures. Ordinary literatures is described as crow literature. But Srimad Bhagavatam or any Vaishnava literature is a Paramahamsa Samhita. It is like swan-like scripture. And therefore, this kind of literature is also only appreciated by those whose mind or heart is swan-like. Crow-like people don't appreciate the message of Srimad Bhagavatam because they're only attracted like crows to filthy places, dirt, eating garbage. They have very good eyes, the crows. But what they see, only garbage, only the bad. What is bad? Everything in this material world is actually considered bad, even that what is considered good, because the good and the bad both is entangling you in the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, even the good literature or so-called sattvic literature, if it is not glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his name and qualities and pastimes, it is still considered crow literature. Maybe for the crows in the mode of goodness. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not in the mode of goodness. It is most transcendental, most essential, cream of the cream of Vedic literatures. Therefore, also in the beginning of Bhagavatam is stated, Shukha Mukha Amrita Drava Samyutam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is already sweet. It's a sweet fruit of the Vedic desire tree. But it became more sweet because of the recitation of Shukadev Goswami. And those who are on the level like Shukadev Goswami, like also Lord Shiva. In Chaitanya Charitamrita we hear that Shiva and Shukadev, they know completely Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadev may or may not completely understood Srimad Bhagavatam. But Shukadev and Shiva, they are the complete highest authority of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why not Vyasadev? May or may not, Lord Chaitanya told. Why may or may not? Because actually, it's not that Srila Vyasadev knew Bhagavatam, because he was the compiler of Bhagavatam when he was on the stage of a most realized platform by the mercy of and the inspiration of Narada. He could write down this and speak this Bhagavatam. But because he was Bhagavan Rishi, he's the Supreme Lord, the literary incarnation of Vedic literature. So he's not different from Vishnu or Krishna. Therefore his name is Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. Krishna. That means Krishna Dvaipayana means he's not different from Krishna. Is a very empowered personality to compose and to spread for the all good of the people in Kali Yuga, for their benefit, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So why he may be understood or maybe not completely understood, it's not a question of doctrine or of philosophy. Philosophically, Srila Vyasadeva had complete understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. But if one goes according to the rasa tattva, according to rasa, relishing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, the deepness of it, that means the mellows of a relationship with Krishna, especially the four most essential rasas, up to Madhurya, can only be relished by devotee, Vaishnava. Even the personality of Godhead is not relishing it as much, or actually cannot relishing as much as a devotee. Therefore, even the Supreme Person, when he wants to relish the love of his devotee or devotees in relation to him, their prema, their feeling, their emotions, and then he even has to come as a devotee, right? He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is relishing in the fullest extent the rasa of the love of Radharani and all her followers, all the eternal associates here in Vrindavan. So he was relishing in full extent. And he was also teaching this rasa to Srila Rupa Goswami and to his very intimate associates. And therefore, only somebody who receives the special mercy of the Lord, he can understand, especially of Lord Chaitanya, or those who are related to the ecstatic, emotional love of devotion to Krishna, they can actually relish Srimad Bhagavatam. They can relish Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami and Lord Shiva, they're relishing this extent deep of the deep ocean of bhakti. They can relish it in full. And therefore, they really can absorb their minds according to the rasa in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, sometimes because Shukadev Goswami was so overwhelmed by ecstatic love, so that it is described that he didn't mention Radharani's name directly. He only mentioned Gopi or Aradhika, she who performed the supreme service and who is the most pleasing personality of Lord Krishna. He mentioned her indirectly. Because if he would directly mention Radharani's name, then maybe he would fall in too much in trance or in ecstasy. And what happened? Then he could not speak the Bhagavatam. Continue with the Bhagavatam for Maharaj Parikshit's well-being and benefit, because the emperor only had 7 days. He only had 7 days to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. He had not 70 years or 7 years or unlimited times to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami, he gave the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but he relished it. He's a relisher of Bhagavatam. And those who relish the Srimad Bhagavatam, they can always continue to hear the same slokas, the same prayers again and again. It's not just the poetry. It's not just the poetry to recite like a parrot. A parrot can also recite poetry or some mantra. You can teach him chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But if he is in danger of you, or if you grasp his neck, you know, he will forget to chant. He will he will scream. Not Krishna, but why? Because it's an animal. He has not relished Krishna's name, Krishna's pastimes. He didn't realize it. He didn't have the pragya. It's described three levels of Bhagavatam. Jnana, vijnana, and pragya. The jnana is the ordinary knowledge what we learn from the teacher. Teacher cannot give you more than jnana. Maybe some vijnana also, but it's because he knows his disciples are very limited. They're not ready now for complete vijnana, and especially no pragya. The deeper realizations of rasa in the heart. Therefore, he's not telling or speaking about it so much. He's maybe touching it slightly, but he's not going in so much in details, because they're not ready for it. So he gives the gyan. The teacher first gives gyan. He also gives some examples of this gyan, so according to his own realization or realizations of others, great personalities. And then that jnana is called vijnana, the realization. But Prabhupada said the realization of vijnana, of the knowledge, is not the supreme. There's something even higher. It's the experience, the relishing of the rasa, of pure love to Krishna. And this is actually what Srimad Bhagavatam is... churned from it. Like chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Lord Chaitanya told, there's no need of interpretation. So there's no need of interpretation of the names, qualities, pastimes, etc. of Krishna. Ataksi Krishna namadina bhava krim indriyai. Seva Mukhehi Jiva, those Vayam Evas Bharatyada. So the Lord's name, qualities, and pastimes are not revealed or understood by material senses. But if you engage the material senses long enough, for a prolonged time, very long time, the chanting process will have an effect. It will give a change in the heart. Tatvak visaka chanaka viplavo, as described in the beginning. It gives a change, because this kind of literature, Bhagavatam, is another literature than that of the crowds, what they like. It is the Paramahamsa, because it gives a revolution. It gives a change in the heart. Bhagavatam gives, the recitation of Bhagavatam gives a change in the heart. Change in your consciousness. This mundane literature, even in the mode of goodness, even yoga literature, cannot give you the ultimate change of heart. Even if it changes your heart, you know, what you will do in the mode of goodness, if you actually don't know the goal of the purpose and the goal of yoga. The goal of yoga is Narayana Para Yoga. It's described. Yoga, the goal of yoga is to fix one's mind on Krishna, to glorify Krishna, to sing the songs who are glorifying Krishna's name, his qualities, and his pastimes, etc. This is the benefit of, therefore, regularly participating in Srimad Bhagavatam Katha. Doesn't matter if you understand or not. There's no need of much understanding, because we cannot understand Bhagavatam with our material intelligence. So what Krishna here says, you know, to the Prachitas, now, I'm very pleased with you, and I will give you the intelligence, you know, the pragya, I would say the pragyam, dasya pragyam. So I will give you the intelligence for Shobhanam, spiritual intelligence to understand the spiritual nature of the Supreme Lord and his qualities and his name, his pastimes. That needs intelligence. It's Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Prabhupada is pointing out. Only by Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Yenamam Upyantite. Only if the Lord gives us Buddhi Yoga, transcendental intelligence, then we can understand him. With material senses, we cannot, because they're impure. They're conditioned, they're covered by Maya and dragged down since time immemorial. And for Srila Vyasadeva, when he compiled his Vedic literature, he went in deep meditation. And then he got his revelation by getting the darshan of the Lord. And he saw the condition of the living entities, how covered by Maya they are. He also saw Maya energy separated of Krishna. She could not cover Krishna, but she covered all the living entities like a cloud. Covering the sun, so we cannot see the sun. So our consciousness is covered by cloudy conception of our relatively, what we call, material, nice life. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva, he felt great compassion. He wanted to help for the living entities who are covered by the material nature, and give them opportunity to come in contact with that Supreme Lord by the linking process of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is a linking process. We are not able now to directly go in contact with the Lord, like Arjuna and many at that time, and also the Prachetas, because they were very purified already. They had no more material tinge of coverings and conditionings. And therefore, they could, tolerate and to receive the Lord without becoming completely destroyed and confused and bewildered. So they were very happy. And the Prachitas got the darshan of the Lord. They were very happy. And actually in the later prayers, when the Lord asked, now I give you whatever desire you want. Varam. Whatever desire you have, I will fulfill you. I will give it you. Because I'm like a Kalpatru. The Lord is like a desire tree. He can fulfill everyone's desire, whatever you have. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami, in one point, he told him, in the beginning of second canto, Akamo sarva kama vam, oksha kamo daridi, divrena bhakti yogena yachita purusham param. You may have desire or no desire or desire for liberation. Doesn't matter. Main thing that you fix your mind on Krishna. That is yoga. Yoga means fixing mind on Krishna. Not that we chant and read and recite prayers and do our puja or our seva, but our mind is completely somewhere else. This is cheating. Then we're cheating ourselves. This is hypocrisy. So we have to fix our mind and fix it on Krishna. Otherwise, if we only engage our senses in the service of Krishna, but the mind is not engaged in Krishna's service, that kind of service is actually not real service. It's only shadow service. It will not change the heart. Only if the mind is engaged in the service, because it's the central of all the senses, the central point of all the senses. If the mind is engaged with the help of the intelligence, of the transcendental intelligence given by Krishna, by his transcendental knowledge, then we can fix all the senses and also the mind on Krishna. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo. So yoga actually means dhyana vastita tat gatena manasa pasyanti yam yogina. Yoga actually means to fix mind on Krishna, on Krishna's lotus feet. So whatever activities we perform, it is again and again crossover through the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is pointed out to fix mind on Krishna, because if we fix the mind on Krishna and engaging in the various devotional services of the ninefold process of bhakti, beginning with hearing and chanting, remembering Krishna, then it will give a change in heart if we do it with the consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada told, first we have to become conscious before we become Krishna conscious. First conscious and then Krishna conscious. Therefore, there are five stages of consciousness. Shrinking stage of the flower. Before a flower sprouts, now there's the seed. So it is shrinked. The means consciousness is shrinked and it is covered. And as long as consciousness is covered and shrinked, we are not actually on the human level of consciousness. That's animal and plant and insect level. There in these two first stages of shrinking and covering, the shrinked consciousness. Consciousness is there, but it's shrinked. Like fire is in the wood, but it's not manifested. So by the Arani, if you rip two pieces of wood together, if you know the signs. Previously, one knew the signs, how to make fire from wood, just without matches, without matches, without any external fire. So they could create a fire from wood, because in the wood the fire is, but it is dormant, it's covered, it's shrinked, it's concentrated. In essence, it's there, but only by this process here, the fire. Fire becomes manifested. Red Indians knew about it, how to do it. And also our old Vedic Brahmanas in the Upanishads and in the Vedas, they knew how to do sacrifice without matches, without making a fire, without matches, just by wood and mantra. So by what actually happens if we are listening about Krishna in association of the devotees here in Bhagavatam, Krishna becomes manifest. Consciousness becomes manifest. So only if we become fortunate enough to come in contact with devotee who has the consciousness, develop consciousness, already on the sprouting and on the third stage is sprouting, and the fourth stage is blossoming, and the fifth stage is fully blossoming. Only if a flower is fully blossomed, then there is the beautiful, most beautiful fragrance inherent in this flower. If it is in the bud stage, we cannot smell. Many lotuses you buy outside here, they're all in the bud stage. They have no smell because the lotus didn't have time to open. So a lotus, only if it is open, then it has a very beautiful smell. Or a rose, if it is in bud stage, it has not much smell, or maybe a little smell. But the full smell becomes manifest if it is blossomed. And if it is fully blossomed, it's most for all. Everyone can smell it in the room and around you, everywhere. This smell is appreciated, is relishable. So only if the consciousness is fully developed in Krishna consciousness, then from the devotee such a smell is appearing. And if he comes in contact with a devotee who has the smell of Krishna consciousness, then we automatically also become Krishna conscious. You cannot avoid it. Therefore we only have to stay long time enough in contact with devotee, learn from the devotees how to chant mantras, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and also the mantras in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are so many Gita songs in the Bhagavatam. Also Bhagavad Gita is a Gita, the song by the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So there are so many Gitas. And in every Sampradaya, there's a recommendation of which Gita, which songs, which prayers a devotee should recite. Because the mantra has to come from Guru. He recommends you which mantras, which prayers. So in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we have our prayers. Of course, we have Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But then we have Brahma Samhita, especially, what we recite regularly. Or we have also the prayers of our acharyas. The prayers of the acharyas like Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur, all our prayers from the songbook, they're also prayers, they're also songs, not different from Vedas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his prayer book, he mentions that actually the prayers of Narottam Das Thakur, he made an astakam about Narottam astakam. He mentions that actually Narottam Das Thakur's prayers and songs are not different from the Vedic hymns, are not different from the Vedas. So it is very important to listening first the songs authorized and sung by our acharyas, like we have also Shukadev Goswami's prayers on tape by Srila Prabhupada, Shukadev Gita in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of Queen Kunti, Prabhupada also recited Brahma Samhita. He also recommended the Narasimha stotras and songs recite. And so by regularly reciting such kind of stotras, by hearing it first from Spiritual Master and from our previous acharyas who are recommended by them, then the Lord is accepting these songs. These songs are not invented by anyone. They are not invented or composed out of some whims. Like Shiva song is not composed by Shiva. It's not written or he didn't invent this prayer, Shiva Stotra. It was given to him by Lord Brahma. Fourth canto, 24th chapter, text 68 and on, Shiva says, 69, "My dear sons of the king, just execute your occupational duty as kings with a pure heart. Just chant this prayer, fixing your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. That will bring you all good fortune. The Lord will be very much pleased with you. Therefore, O sons of the king, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is situated in everyone's heart, is also within your hearts. Therefore, chant the glories of the Lord and always meditate upon him continuously. My dear princes, in the form of a prayer, I have delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. All of you should take this important stotra within your minds and promise to keep it in order to become great sages. By acting silently like a great sage and by giving attention and reverence, you should practice this method." This prayer was first spoken to us by Lord Brahma, the master of all creators. The creators headed by Bhrigu and other Prajapatis were instructed in these prayers because they wanted to create, to get children and all kinds of children, offsprings to populate the universe. When all the Prajapatis were ordered to create by Lord Brahma, we chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and became completely free from all ignorance. Thus we were able to create different types of living entities. A devotee of Lord Krishna, whose mind is always absorbed in him, who with great attention and reverence chants this stotra, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. In this material world, there are different types of achievements, but of all of them, the achievements of knowledge is considered to be the highest because one can cross the ocean of nations only on the boat of knowledge, otherwise the ocean is impassable. And here he speaks about, of course, transcendental knowledge, not ordinary knowledge. Although rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worshipping him are very difficult, if one vibrates or simply reads this stotra prayer composed and sung by me, he will very easily be able to invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is the dearmost objective of all auspicious benedictions. A human being who sings this song, sung by me, can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee, being fixed in the Lord's devotional service, can acquire whatever he wants from the Supreme Lord. A devotee who rises early in the morning and with folded hands chants these prayers sung by me, I mean Shiva, and gives facility to others to hear them, certainly becomes freed from all bondage of fruitive activities. My dear sons of the king, the prayers I have recited to you are meant for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul. I advise you to recite these prayers, which are as effective as great austerities. In this way, when you are mature, your life will be successful and you will certainly achieve all your desired objectives without fail. So here you see Shiva acting as a supreme guru of the universe, a supreme authority of Bhagavatam. He not just giving the prayer or the mantra to his disciples, the 10 Prachetas, sons of Prachini Bharisat, he also gave them blessings with it. That means in the instruction, also the blessing is there. It's not just an instruction, it's also a blessing in the instruction. Because without the blessing, we cannot achieve. We cannot achieve the ultimate result. So, and because Shiva is the supreme authority for the Vaishnavas, giving them, all well-wishing them, good for the highest benefit in Krishna consciousness, he gives them these prayers. Shiva composed many beautiful Vaishnava prayers, glorifying Krishna, Radha Krishna. Very, very beautiful prayers he made to glorify Krishna, because he himself is a supreme devotee, Vaishnava Yata Shambhu. But he is very happy to please and to bless the Vaishnavas, those who are interested in to achieve Krishna's shelter, Krishna's mercy. So the Prachetas, they were very benefited, blessed by Shiva, although originally they went to the forest or in the sea, to underneath the water for austerity. But ultimately, because Vaishnavas always thinks, what is the use for unnecessary performing so much austerity without knowing for whom you should perform the austerity? It's also described in the Narada Pancharatra, because one time Narada, he was in the Himalayas, in a solitary place, sitting down to perform tapasya. But then he heard from the sky a voice telling him, you know, he should not perform, what is the use of this tapasya? If you cannot attain Lord Krishna with this tapasya, if tapasya is not leading and is not so much pleasing to Krishna, then what is the use of tapasya? And if you can attain Krishna without tapasya, then what is the use of such a tapasya? So this was like a thunderbolt in him, in his mind. And he understood, oh, I should give up the tapasya. Sarasvati from the sky revealed this to me. It was actually Sarasvati, the Lord's internal energy, who is not different from Lakshmi Devi. She told Narada, give up this tapasya. So of course Narada is always sometimes covered also with this, as he would not know everything, so that a certain point is made. Narada, of course, is always engaged in chanting holy name, absorbed in Krishna. So, and he wants always to get the benedictions from great personalities like Lord Shiva, Brahma, and other personal and of the Lord himself. So that he, when Shiva ultimately got the darshan also of Lord Shiva, so he offered Shiva prayers, and Shiva was very pleased with him, and he told, now Shiva, you can choose any benediction for me. What do you want? See these mystical perfections? Or a great kingdom? Or liberation? Because I can give you everything. Everything is in my hand. I even can give you service in Vaikuntha or in Goloka, up to platform of Dasya. So I can reveal it to you. Whatever you desire, please let me know. Parvati was also present. So if you would meet Shiva, if you meet him and he will tell you, what do you desire now? Liberation? Brahman, or in the Vaikuntha liberation, or can go to Goloka even, or I will give you all 18 mystical perfections. Hasta cities plus 10 secondary cities. Shiva, his Yogeshwara. He can give it to you. Huh? So, what, or a kingdom, because all opulences are in Shiva. So what we would ask? Sometimes we maybe we'll be confused. But because Narada, he was very fixed. He was very pure in the heart. He knew what is his desire. Therefore, when we approach Great Personality for blessings, and ask for mantra or some special means, you know, to achieve the blessing or the goal, we have to have some idea what we want. So many times we don't know what we want, and we chant and we pray something, but there is no change. So we have to know what we want, what kind of a desire we have. Because according to desire, Krishna is ready, and even all his great devotees, they're ready to help us and to assist us and to give us the power and the blessings to fulfill our desires. They can fulfill any of the desires. Vedas is full of a whole list, a whole shopping center list of desires you can achieve. No. But this is not for devotee. Devotees have no interest in these kind of desires. So what is it's very interesting, and it's recommended in the Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narada Pancharatra, that we should recite this prayer of Narada to Lord Shiva every day 10 times. So to give us the proper idea and understanding why we actually perform devotional service. So what he desired? Dehi me hari bhaktim cha tannama sevane ruchi ati trishna gunakyane nityam astu ameshvara. Narad prayed, my dear Lord, please award me hari bhakti, pure devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, as well as strong attachment to chanting his holy name. And may I also be endowed with the propensity for constantly glorifying the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So he had three desires. They're actually one, but in three different ways. So he wanted to have an attachment to the holy name, the pure devotional service, who is not mixed with any material or tinged with any material desires, and the attachment of constantly glorifying the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So this is a supreme blessing. Also in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada had a similar request to the Lord when he met Lord Krishna in Dvaraka. He only asked for one thing, you know, that he can always travel around the world, you know, and chant about his glorious activities and qualities to everyone there, so to let people in all the three worlds know about the glories of Lord Krishna. And this actually is a supreme occupation and satisfaction of a liberated devotee like Narada and also Lord Shiva and others, and also of our Srila Prabhupada. If they only come to this world, you know, because they want to benefit the people. They want to see them happy, not happy in a mixture of material miseries, but happiness, Brahma Saukhyam Dvanantam, the transcendental happiness in the spiritual life. And the supreme spiritual life is Krishna consciousness. And if the devotee sees that his aspiring devotees taking up this process sincerely and getting some results and some blessings and even attain that goal, then he becomes very pleased. Then he is happy. Then it was worth that he came. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada used to say, his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he told, even if only one pure devotee or even Madhyamadikari becomes manifested of my preaching activity, then I consider all my endeavor successful. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. And maybe one question. Yeah, okay. But you have to come near. And don't speak too fast. Yeah, that's because the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the first instruction, main instruction, because it is the Yuga Dharma. Everyone can chant, even those who are illiterate, those who are not very educated and learned in scriptures and in reciting verses or slokas. Everyone can chant Hare Krishna. So therefore, this is the general mantra, the Maha Mantra. But Prabhupada, in the 8th canto, in the connection with Gajendra, the elephant, you heard about him. He chanted one prayer. Because he was in scarcity, so crocodile Maya attacked him. And he remembered the mantra from previous life as Indradumna in South India. But he was cursed. But he had one mantra that he always repeated, one prayer. And he remembered that in his most difficult time as the king of elephants. And he was reciting this prayer. And the Lord appeared to save him. Then in this connection, Prabhupada here mentions in the purport, next to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Vaishnavas should also learn, devotees should also learn to chant other prayers like Brahma Samhita, Nisingadev prayer, Namaste Narasinghaya, and other recognized songs in the scriptures and by our previous acharyas. He didn't mention everything there, but it is clear that Srila Prabhupada, he also wanted that we recite prayers in the morning and in the evening. It's a daily sadhana. But we should not give up chanting Hare Krishna and only chant prayers. So it has to be both chanting Hare Krishna and also repeating prayers in the morning and in the evening. As a daily sadhana. Because to recite stotras and stutis, it's a recommended process of Pancharatrika, of the 64 angas of pure devotional service, mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. So stutis and stotras should not be neglected. If you can recite them, we should not just become bookworms and just reading books and chant Hare Krishna and finish our rounds and then what you do the rest of the day. So we have to also have some also special prayers prayers that inspire you in your life. I can know many devotees who recite prayers. Since years we're chanting prayers in the morning and in the evening. Besides of our standard songs and prayers, we have prayers like prayers of Queen Kunti. We have prayers by the different acharyas in their songbooks. So we can learn them and recite them daily. And the more you recite them, then the more we become purified together with Hare Krishna mantra. It's not against the mantra, Hare Krishna. So these two go very nicely together, prayer and Mahamantra. So it's both kirtan. So kirtan is the main thing. And it is stated in Shastra Bhagavatam that those who are intelligent, really intelligent in the age of Kali Yuga, they glorify Lord Chaitanya through kirtan. Harinam Sankirtan. Chanting holy name and also the prayers. Lord Chaitanya himself offer prayers. Recite the prayers. So all our great acharyas recite the prayers. No problem. So, Hare Krishna. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Bol.